Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Why are countless hours of productivity lost in today's workplace? Why is the vast majority of workers not engaged in their work? Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew by Robert McFarland is a number one international best-selling book. He researched today's workforce across industries and regions of the country, discovering four concerns of employees today. A practical book with deep researched insights and practical ways that he shares with us today. I pause at the beginning of our program to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio show is something very practical and spiritual, to bring you closer and closer, my friend, to Jesus Christ, to the Lord Jesus who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the grave. Today, the living Christ calls you to himself. You, yes, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, wherever you've been, or whatever you've done, there is always hope in Jesus. There's forgiveness in Jesus. Would you open your heart to Christ and receive him as your Savior and Lord? That's our prayer, and that's our hope today. Robert McFarland is the president of Transformational Impact, LLC. He serves as the intentional leadership coach for the Intentional Living Center and is a frequent contributor to the Intentional Living broadcast and features. He's a member of the board of directors of the National Religious Broadcasters and the chairman of the board of directors of the Family Foundation of Virginia. Robert, welcome. Welcome back to our show.
Well, thank you so much, Danny. Suzanne, it's good to be with you all again. Thanks for letting me be with you. And I bring you greetings from Virginia, so that's why I greet you as y'all.
Yay! Mahalo!
Hey, congratulations on your new book, Robert. I know you put a lot into it. It's been quite a process, and you've done it, and many are being blessed because of it.
Oh, and you know, Danny, just how much it takes to write a book. I know you've got a few that you've written, and the works that you've produced or have blessed many people, I'm certain, because the work that God has done through you is evident because of the experiences you've had as well as the testimony that you've given. So I'm grateful to God for you.
Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew. Who would benefit from Dear Boss?
Who'd benefit from that? Well, obviously, I guess right off the bat, you'd probably say it would be a manager. I mean, somebody who manages people or somebody who leads an organization. Executives, business owners, people who are in positions of authority would benefit from this. But actually, this book is not so much of a book about business as it is as much a book about people. And really, the workplace is really just where we see a lot of people coming together, having to deal with issues and having to deal with their problems. And this book really provides an opportunity for us to examine the leadership that we have within our circle of influence, whatever that is, and how we can actually improve that to become better leaders of ourselves and better leaders of others.
The principles, what you unearthed, as it were, in your research, has that applicational effect where it can be personalized in every work context. What are some of the blind spots, Robert, of leaders?
Well, I think that a lot of people, when they're in a leadership role, don't know what they don't know. And that's one thing I think that people really need to be careful about, is we can have those various blind spots within our lives. We don't realize just how much we are relying on an imperfect view of the world. I mean, so that we may have a particular viewpoint that really isn't real, and we need to be careful not to let that distract us in terms of how we actually, how the world actually does operate.
Well, we see things from our perspective.
Exactly.
But we may not be aware how someone else may be perceiving what we see or what we think we're conveying.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we don't realize really how our intentions and words are really interpreted. So that's why I think that this book, Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew, really gets it to the heart of some of these issues and helps us really realize how we can better be able to realize the effect our words and our actions have on those around us, and then be able to harness that better to express ourselves better, be able to be better leaders, and really understand better how we can implement the actions and the effects that we want to see as a result of the positions that we hold.
You mentioned we don't know what we don't know. So what would you say to a boss, or let's say an employee who has a boss, not knowing what he or she doesn't know, these blind spots, and the boss doesn't even think there's a need to read a book like this? What would you say to that employee?
Oh, that someone who thinks that their boss thinks they don't need it?
The boss needs it. They know the boss needs it, but the boss doesn't think he or she needs it.
Well, here's what I would say to somebody who says, you know what, I think my leadership style is good and I don't need to be any better. I'd say, okay, well, great. Would you like your employees to be more productive? And then most bosses will say, well, yeah, I'd like my people to be more productive. And I say, well, would you like your company to be more profitable? And most bosses would probably say, well, yeah, I would like that. They say, well, then you need to read this book so that you can understand how to improve your culture in your organization so that your employees will then be more productive and that your company will then be more profitable.
Profitability and productivity, you're hitting two nerves that I think a business owner, that goes deep. That goes deep.
Oh, absolutely. Even if somebody is not clued in to self-awareness, if that's not something that they have as a factor with it that they are able to take advantage of, I think they will realize that they still need to be accountable for the dollars that come in the door and the productivity of their employees, and therefore they will realize that the need for this on those ends.
Now, this is a business book. You're talking about productivity. You're talking about profit. How is it also a Christian book?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. Because really, this book, even though it is about business, and I quote a lot from different people that you may be familiar with in the business context, like Jim Collins or John Mackey or Patrick Lencioni. I mean, these are some business writers and such that people may be familiar with, but I quote just as much from Scripture in this book, and I believe that Scripture has a lot to say about how we work. It has a lot to say how we relate to other people. I mean, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, talks a lot about how we interact with others, and that comes through in terms of how the book is written, because I write it all from a Christian standpoint, because I believe that Jesus knew more about how to treat other people than we do. And so therefore, we have a lot to learn through Scripture in terms of what he said so that we can apply it to the workplace today.
So, dear friend, as you're listening to Robert McFarlane, author of Dear Boss, a word of transcendence, a biblical transcendence, where the Word of God, which is an underlying factor of each chapter and the underlying intuition of Robert McFarlane's book, it also has the practical application. Of course, he utilizes the wisdom insights of recognized business leaders. And that's a bridge, as it were, why you can use this not only as a book that will enrich you, but of course your boss and others who you know in business and in business leadership. This is the Good Life Radio Program. I'm grateful you're with us today. Hey, one more thing before we go to break, Robert, just real quick. Data. This is a research-based book. So data collection. Walk us through your data collection and why is that so important to your findings?
Well, in terms of the findings, I mean, I wanted to make sure that this was established as something that people could point to with research as the foundation, so that it wouldn't be just my opinion. It wouldn't be pointing to scripture for the illumination for this information for somebody who wasn't a believer. I wanted to have it as being data-driven, and so therefore I commissioned some research back in 2016, and it's from people from different ethnicities, different socioeconomic status, different geography areas, different industry backgrounds, and it all gave a representative picture of the American workforce today and therefore validated the research that was provided because the methodology underscores the information.
So let's say somebody is interested. They're not only going to want to look at what you found, they want to find out how you found what you found. Will they be able to see your methodology there in the book?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I detail out all the questions that I provided there so that it's either in the beginning of the book or in the appendices. I mean, all the questions there are available for people to look through to see just how much the survey or the respondents, that is, are representative of the American people today.
Robert, someone wants to get a hold of the book as they're listening to you. Where do they go? How do they get it?
Well, they can find the book, Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew, on Amazon. So it's easy to find there. And if they want to have more information about it, they can also go to the website, whatyouremployeeswishyouknew.com.
whatyouremployeeswishyouknew.com. You're listening to Robert McFarlane. Robert is the author of the number one international best-selling book, Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew. When we come back from our break, more from Robert. You know, Tammy Heim, president and CEO of Christian Leadership Alliance. She says, McFarlane connects the power found in a leader's words and actions and then demonstrates how to use them intentionally to unleash God's best in people. Robert McFarlane's book, Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew, Amazon.com. That's how you can get a hold of the book. When we come back, more from Robert as he shares with us a little about four major concerns that employees had about their bosses. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Johnny Erickson Tada wrote, "I give dear boss what your employees wish you knew, a double thumbs up. It's that good." Robert McFarlane is a leadership consultant, executive coach, and conference speaker. He's worked with organizations, conducting strategic planning, providing branding guidance, giving communications counsel. He's also blogger in chief. You can find out more about him at robertfarland.net. Again, robertfarland.net. He said, "Danny, where or how can I get a hold of this book, Dear Boss?" Go to Amazon.com. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Thanks for joining us today. If you're tuning in right now or maybe caught the tail end of our last segment, hey, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. We have this program and other resources available for you. Suzanne, you are always thinking about family. You, during our break, you were mentioning something about Robert and his family. What were you thinking?
Six wonderful children. Now, I hope I say it correctly, Robert, in the Shenandoah Valley?
That's correct, yes.
Tell us a little about that, having moved from Washington, D.C.
Well, for 25 years, we lived in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., and I am pleased to say we have escaped there and gone down to God's country in the Shenandoah Valley. Now, before you take issue with the fact that I refer to the Shenandoah Valley as God's country, you have to understand that I moved out of the Washington, D.C. area. Therefore, anything would be an improvement and must be God's country. So, therefore, being outside of the nation's capital area was definitely a move to God's country. So yes, we love it here in the Shenandoah Valley, and we no longer wake up to the sound of car alarms. We now wake up to the sound of cow alarms.
So I love that.
Yes, yes. It's definitely an improvement.
What are the ages of your children, Robert?
Well, our oldest is 23, and she is a law school student right now at Liberty University in Virginia. Yes, and I've got a 20-year-old, nearly 21-year-old college student as well, and I've got an 18-year-old. So I got my two oldest are girls, and then I've got an 18-year-old son who's about to graduate from high school, and then I got a 15-year-old son in high school, and then I have a 13-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old son. So two girls, two boys, then a girl and a boy.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Robert, what are the four major concerns you wrote about in Dear Boss? Four major concerns that employees had about their bosses.
Well, what's interesting is the data that we got, I thought, was very interesting in that we went out to, as I said before the break, 589 people around the country, different ethnicities, different socioeconomic status, different geographic areas, different industry backgrounds. And the one open-ended question we asked was, what would you wish your boss knew that they may not already know? And that open-ended question, the responses to that question were, well, 26% of those or the responses said nothing, and 8% said they weren't sure. But what's interesting is that only 4% of people who responded to the survey said something other than the four major concerns, which had nothing to do with money. The four major concerns that employees said that they wanted to tell their boss had nothing to do with money. But those four major concerns, and I'm wondering if our listeners would resonate with these things in terms of their particular situation, if either a spouse or their own personal selves would say that the issues of a perception of insufficient appreciation, inadequate morale, incompetent management, and improper communication. Those are the four things that really resonated on this survey. So there was the where people felt like they were not appreciated at work by their boss in one shape or another. There really wasn't a good team spirit. There wasn't enough morale for people to feel like it was a good environment to work in. There was a perception that their boss or their bosses really didn't know how to run the organization. It really wasn't there wasn't that kind of feeling of trusting them to know how to run it. And then the feeling that there wasn't a good communication arena where they didn't feel like they were getting the full story or there just wasn't that they weren't being communicated with properly. So those are the four things. And what's funny is that when I tell these people, tell these results to different people in different presentation formats that I do, I get heads nodding and I hear people say, yeah, I can understand that. And so it's interesting that this research really does resonate with the people I've talked to in terms of their own particular situations they deal with on a daily basis.
Robert, in any part of your data, was there an opportunity to indicate if an employee didn't feel the freedom to talk with their boss? You might not have been dealing with that, but I wonder.
Well, this survey was completely anonymous, and so there was no there was no way to tie back these people to their bosses. I mean,
okay.
I don't know their names.
Yeah.
I don't know the companies they work for. All I know is the demographic data that they shared with me. So that there was total freedom for them to be able to share whatever they wanted to share.
Well, and clearly communication was one of the issues.
Yes, that was definitely one of them.
Thank you.
You talk about active leaders. By the way, Robert goes into this in detail. Each of the four major concerns is given its own chapter. Chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5 address this at these concerns at length. I think there's a level of consolation even in the way that he presents it, but also some directives that go along as well. Robert, you talk about active leadership. What is that? What do you mean by that, active leadership?
Well, given the fact that we've got these different problems in the workplace, these four things that I identified, the insufficient appreciation, inadequate morale, incompetent management, improper communication, those four issues that are really taking place in the workplace today, what I'm proposing is that that managers need to look at themselves not so much as managers, because I think that really the situation where we're in right now is due to people really not seeing themselves as they could as being the leaders that they really ought to be. So I think that there is a certain call that we need to become better at leading, and not managing, but leading. And so it's really understanding and having an intentional awareness of the thinking, of the words, of the actions necessary that we need to do to really bring out the best in people. And so it's a matter that the more we're aware of how we treat people, the better results we're going to get as a result of our leadership.
So it's coming back to the leader improving herself, himself, to better. It almost sounds to me like the leader, the boss, the owner of the company, improving him or herself to better serve the employee. That's what I sense is part of the intuition behind this.
Well, really, I think that when we the corporate model structure we seem to have is that it's a triangle, and you've got all the worker bees down below, and then you got the big boss up at the top of the triangle telling everybody else what to do. But really, Jesus, when he came along 2,000 years ago, he taught basically we need to turn that triangle upside down, and that that anybody who wants to be the greatest must be the servant of all. And so his words are more true in the business world than possibly anywhere else, in that a boss or a leader who realizes that I'm here to serve those who are under my charge, to help them become the best they can be, they're going to end up producing an environment at that company that's going to therefore be more productive and more profitable. For example, I learned that one thing that Chick-fil-A does is they, when they are interviewing candidates to come work for their company, they will ask them, what are their goals? What are their dreams? And once, if they become an employee, then that becomes part of what that boss is trying to do, is trying to help them activate their goals and their dreams. Chick-fil-A really understands culture. They understand how to be able to serve in order to be able to get the most out of their employees and have them enjoy doing it at the same time.
You're getting at something which touches me with a certain level of sensitivity. Sensitivity of a boss being concerned about the dreams of the employee. Tenderness comes to mind, Robert. You have an unusual way of defining tenderness. How would you summarize tenderness?
Yeah, I have a kind of a funny way of describing it. I figure that that was the best word I could come up with to really try to describe what I wanted to say. Is, I mean, there's four different parts of active leadership. I mean, what that really means, and what it means is basically we've got four things that really address the four concerns that we found in the research. That when we talked about insufficient appreciation, the thing that really is going to respond to that, that's going to alleviate that situation, is having a perspective of tenderness. And I'll define that better in a moment.
Well, let's come back to that after our break, Robert, so you have more time to just delve in and really expand on that for us, because I think it's absolutely necessary. We need to expound this to really get a hold of what you're conveying. Again, research-based work produced by Robert McFarlane, his book, Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew. It's a number one international best-selling book by Robert. By the way, Robert, again, how could someone get a hold of this? They might be asking, okay, I need this book. How do they get it?
Well, they can find that on Amazon.com. So it's Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew, and my name is Robert McFarland, McFarland.
There you have it, Amazon.com, Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew by Robert McFarland. When we come back from our break, more from Robert, we'll go into more depth about tenderness and some other very key, significant characteristics, tenets, really, of active leadership. Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, says, Dear Boss is a practical, challenging, and inspiring guide that reflects its author's many hard-fought years of experience. Not only will it help you become more effective as a leader, it will nurture and strengthen your faith as well. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So what are the four tenets of active leadership and why are they significant? Well, we heard a little bit about tenderness. Robert McFarlane has written a book. It's entitled Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew. It's a number one international best-selling book. Robert is not only an author, he's a consultant, he's a business leader, he's a conference speaker, and he's also a dear friend. And I'm grateful to share in our time together with Robert, to share it with you, dear one, because, well, we know that the Lord, in His grace, sets up divine appointments, and He conveys messages to us that are rooted in Scripture, that are biblically based, that enable us to work through even the challenges of our lives. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Thanks for joining us today. You can get a hold of Robert's book, Dear Boss, at Amazon.com. And if you'd like to get this program in its entirety as a gift to you, free, pass it on to family members or friends, as I typically say. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Four tenets of active leadership, Robert. What are they, including tenderness? What are they? Why are they significant?
Well, thanks, Danny. Appreciate you asking about that. It's as we mentioned in an earlier segment of the program, that that active leadership is important in terms of addressing the four major concerns that we found from the research. The research I had done going out to the people all around the country and through asking the question, what do you wish your boss knew that they may not already know? And that research produced basically four themes that are addressed in the book in terms of what those problems are in the workplace, being insufficient appreciation, inadequate morale, incompetent management, and improper communication. And so the four tenets of active leadership really address those four areas. So meaning, as you mentioned, tenderness. Tenderness really is what is what I define as being something that's going to address the issues of insufficient appreciation. I can define that more fully in a little bit. But team addresses the issue of inadequate morale, the fact that we don't have, when there's not enough morale in the workplace. Also, in the concept of trust is what really addresses the issue of incompetent management in an organization. And finally, the transparency is what I call what's going to address the issue of the improper communication found in the workplace. So it's the four tenets being tenderness, team, trust, and transparency. And to your point there, your question, Danny, about what is tenderness? Why, that's a kind of funny thing to say in a business book. But really, when I define tenderness, I'm talking about something about how we should treat people in our daily living in terms of we need to treat people the way we'd want to be treated if the situation were reversed. Well, obviously, that sounds biblical. I mean, that Jesus talked about how we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And so that's really the crux of the whole concept of tenderness, is that we need to be realizing that how we treat people is going to come back to us. And that's in a business context, how a boss, how a leader treats those that are in his charge or her charge, in terms of the employees that work for them, that's going to impact how productive a company can be and how profitable that company can be based on the culture that's created from how the boss thinks and acts and speaks. So that's why tenderness and obviously the team and trust and transparency are so important to a workplace, because tenderness involves treating people as employees as people to be led and not as machines to be monitored. Because nobody wants to go to a business, no one wants to go to an office where they feel demeaned, where they don't feel like they're treated as with the dignity that God would have them be treated with as children of God. So that's why I think it's so crucial for us to have a concept of that tenderness, of that golden rule that we need to have in any business context.
Someone may read the book, enjoy the biblical quotes that you have, and then be disturbed to a point from people who are not Christians in your book, but you include them. How do you explain that, Robert?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think I know that some people reading this book may be coming at it from two different perspectives. I realize that some people may be coming to this book and saying, you know, I want to learn how to treat people better. I want to learn how to become an active leader based on my faith. And so there's a lot of scripture in there to really help them see things from that perspective. But I realize that there's not everybody is going to come to it from that same perspective. So I also provide a lot of quotes from different business leaders and different business writers. I mean, some people may be familiar with Jim Collins from Good to Great, or Patrick Lencioni from The Advantage, or John Mackey from Conscious Capitalism. I don't believe that Jim Collins I don't know about Jim's faith. I mean, I think he may be a Buddhist. From my perspective, if they write truth, I'm not so concerned about what their religious credentials are, because all truth is God's truth. Because if it's true, then it is of God and it's from God. And I think that the Bible, you have some pretty unlikely messengers in there. I mean, I think we see people like Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus that God used. I mean, they were leaders in a secular context, but God used them to advance his people. I mean, and I think that is something that I think we need to realize, is that God can use principles in a business context, or use concepts that we may think, or the source of those concepts may be from a business context, but it can also validate scripture, or scripture can validate those concepts and therefore make them something that's worthy for us to be considering. So I think people can learn from many different sources and then compare it with scripture to verify its veracity, make sure they know it's true. So I think that that's something that people can take from this book and realize that there's a lot of different places that we can see God sightings, shall we say, that it's not just scripture we can go to, but we can see God's hand in business, because those principles that we see from business are really based in Proverbs and places like that. Those that God's hand in terms of how business should operate and operate best is really a scriptural principle that we see then played out in a business context.
It's quite clear that you have a distilled passion for what you have put together in this book. So it must be bubbling up from somewhere deep. So I'll ask the simple question, why? Robert McFarland, why did you write this book, Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew?
Oh, gosh. Thank you, Danny. That is something very, as you said, near and dear to my heart, that it's been something that's been a passion of mine to see that which is in the scriptures actually apply to all of life. Because, as you know, Danny, there is no division between the secular and the sacred. Scripture applies to all of life. And I find that the hour or the 2 hours or whatever we spend on Sunday morning seems to be, in many people's lives, kind of just separate from everything else. So they have their Monday through Friday life or their Monday through Saturday life, and then they do this Christian thing on Sundays. And that is not what God's design is. That's not God's desire. And what I wanted to show in this book was that if we take our Sunday thinking and apply it to our Monday through Friday living or our Monday through Saturday living, it's going to get us better results. It's not only is it God's design. I mean, that's good enough, but it's not just God's design. It's also for our best. God designed His word, His principles to apply to all of life so that we would get better results. We our companies would be more productive. They'd be more profitable if we did them according to His way.
You talk about profitability and productivity. Is there something that could round off those two statements and points in the context of what you hope people will get as a result of reading the book? Anything more or to enhance those two points that you just made?
I think that people are really going to become better leaders by reading this book. I think they will, as a result, they will see how they can impact other people's lives for the better. And I think they'll be more happy with themselves as a result of what they would see from the results of reading this book.
It's a quotable from Robert McFarlane. I love the way he says it. We will get better results if we use our Sunday thinking in our Monday through Friday living. Suzanne, it's a word for us. It's an admonition to us to apply what we learn, don't you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, the need for tenderness is universal, and it's missing. It's missing in our culture today, in my opinion. Or maybe I should say it's waning. And I just think it's so important. And the other thing I'm hearing, Robert, is the coaching in you. And I just think if you can combine coaching and tenderness as a boss, that's going to really be very beneficial to your employees.
Well, Robert McFarlane is a leadership coach's coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written the book. It's a number one international best-selling book, Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew. You can get it at Amazon.com. When we return, our final segment, more from Robert. We're going to talk about action, not only these ideas and concepts and principles, but how do we flesh it out? How do we live the Monday through Friday?
Maybe even Saturday.
With the Sunday thinking. For actions to become an active leader, why is workplace culture a big deal? More from Robert McFarlane, dynamic leader, author, coach, speaker, blogger, when we come back. Sharing heart to heart with you, my friend, dear one. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Filmmaker Phil Cook says, in our national obsession with leadership, we often forget that great leadership is reflected in the eyes of our employees and team members. That's why Robert McFarland's new book, Dear Boss, What Your Employees Wish You Knew, is a wake-up call to leaders everywhere. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, our guest today, the author of the book, Dear Boss, Robert McFarland, joining us from Virginia. Thank you, Robert, for being with us. And dear one, as you're listening today, thanks for joining us. I believe even if you're tuning in right now or maybe just caught just a little bit of the last part, by the way, you can get this program in full at thegoodlifehawaii.com. But even now, at this moment, the Lord will drop some nuggets into your heart that could change your life. Find out more at robertmcfarland.net. And get the book at Amazon.com. Robert, what are the four actions to become an active leader, the active leader you present here? And why are all four important?
Well, thanks for asking, Danny. I mean, because obviously it's good for us to know what the four major concerns are that people find in the workplace. And it's good for us to know what the four tenets of active leadership are, being tenderness and team and trust and transparency. But really, it's a matter of how do we become that active leader? How do we create the culture in our organizations, in our companies, so that we can actually put forward the kind of results that we want to see? And really, those four actions are what you teach, what you celebrate, what you model, and finally, what you permit. So when it comes down to it, those things are all very important, and they all interrelate. Because first of all, what you teach is obviously what you say. It's what you do. It's how you live your life. It's the things that come out of your mouth, and what you celebrate is going to reinforce what you say. So obviously, if you're going to reinforce a certain kind of principle that you put forward, that you've spoken, that's going to resonate more with people in terms of the things that you say are important that you then reinforce through any kind of celebrations you do there at the office, with any kind of particular rewards that you give for things that are performed, that's going to reinforce the things that you say. And obviously then if modeling is important, what we do is very important because we can say one thing, and if we do the opposite, that undermines the message we're trying to say. So the things that we model is what we do. The actions that we perform every day actually put on display what it is that we say is important. But finally, the last one I think is probably the most important one, because what you permit underscores what you do or what you don't do. So you can be great at teaching everything in your workplace. You can be great at celebrating those things. You can be great at modeling the kind of leader or kind of a person you want everybody else to be like. But if you permit other people to do things that don't fall into those three categories, you've undone everything you've tried to do.
You talk about tenderness. It seems to be somewhat of an underlying theme in our dialogue today. But being tender to a listener who is a boss right now, someone who is a business owner right now, they're listening. And they don't disagree with what you're saying. In fact, they are intrigued by the clarity and precision in the way that you've put it. But Robert, they feel perhaps a tinge of an overwhelming sensation because these actions are sublime. What would you say to someone today who is enthralled by this? They want to engage in this way, but they don't. They just don't feel like they can measure up. How do we bring this to a point where they can believe that they can improve, and as a result, productivity and profitability will take place in their company?
Well, I think if somebody feels touched by this and convicted, or in terms of their leadership style, or then I would say that you know, God gives second chances, that things can be redone, remade in a business context, and I think what's really great about workplace culture is that God honors, and everyone else honors, repentance. I think that this whole thing that we can do in terms of living out these principles shows that we're being consistent with what we believe if we live them out. And what I mean by that is that if we actually violate our standards, or if we realize that, you know, we've kind of come to an epiphany and realize, oh my goodness, this is not what I meant to be doing, and I'm so sorry, I've been going afoul of this. Repenting of that and publicly doing so, I think is huge, because people who report to you and realize, will see that in you and say, oh my gosh, since when has a boss apologized to me? This is huge. And one thing that I really would say to any bosses out there who feel like they may not have measured up in the past, and they're afraid of the idea of repenting or confessing that they messed up in terms of their leadership, please believe that you will have more credibility in the eyes of the people that report to you by repenting, by being genuinely sorry for how you haven't been the leader you wanted to be, than anything else you do. So just admitting that you've messed up will be huge, and it will actually put you on a better footing than you've ever had before.
Robert, I'd like for you to pray. Pray for a boss who's listening. Someone listening, they might be hearing this through our online capacity across the country, perhaps one of the 120 nations around the world listening to this, a boss. And then I want to pray for him, ask you to pray for an employee today, but pray for a boss first with the tenderness of your heart, as you've expressed already.
Well, let's join in prayer then and say, Lord God, I pray that you would be with the hearts of those who are listening now, to help them become the leader they'd like to be. Equip them, Lord, with the ability to see themselves as you see them, that you love them, that you desire for them to recognize how much you love them, and then to let that be lived out in how they live, so that there would be no fear in their lives, there would be no shame, there would be no guilt, that they would realize that you love them, and all that, your love would cover everything. And so I pray that through that realization of repentance and that understanding of how your love would affect them, would transform their lives and their leadership style now, in Jesus' name.
Now, Robert, an employee who wants to reach their boss or feels for their boss, an employee who aspires to be a boss one day, a prayer.
God, I pray that you would be with somebody listening right now who sees the leadership of their company possibly going in a wrong direction. They may see that you have a different standard than the exhibited by those in their leadership, or they'd aspire, Lord, to be in a leadership position someday and be able to put these kind of principles into action. Lord, I pray that you would show them how to be the best at what they're doing right now. Let them be the best, that they would shine, that they would be able to show that all of their efforts are trying to be supportive of their current boss and not undermine, that they are for his or her good, that they would want to be part of the solution and part instead of part of the things that they would say is causing problems there at the office. Lord, I pray that they would be, that, and as a result of that faithfulness, that you would lift them up, that you would exalt them as a result of their faithful service there at their place of business, at their workplace, that you would them shower your favor upon them because of the faithfulness and the honor they have shown in the position they hold. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Robert, I believe that the cultures in our workplaces are going to be augmented positively because of what you've shared today and what you've written in your book.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Danny. I really believe so. I believe that it's not so much because it's my words, but because it's God's words. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are God's principles. He has documented them in his words. I'm just sharing them again for people to see them. And because I believe that this gives people a spotlight, an opportunity for them to really put their faith in practice in a way that doesn't have to be showy. You don't have to be preaching. You can just live Scripture and live it out in terms of the way you conduct yourself at your place of business. And I think that's going to speak volumes for you to be able to share the gospel and have an opportunity to share the gospel with those around you because of how you just live your faith. And it's also going to be a benefit to the company that you work for, and it puts the golden rule on display for everybody to see. It's a win-win all around.
Robert McFarlane is a prolific writer. He blogs regularly. You can find out and receive his blogs on a regular basis at robertmcfarlane.net. Hey, Robert, thanks for being with us today. This has been invaluable, and I'm grateful for your friendship and for sharing in your time with us today.
Oh, hey, Danny, it's always a pleasure to be with you. You inspire me. I think so highly of you, and it's really an honor for me to be on the program with you and Suzanne today.
Skillful words, indeed, from Robert McFarlane. You can find out more at robertmcfarlane.net. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, I believe this is a perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. In Mark 9:35, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the last and the servant of all." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Robert McFarlane at robertmcfarlane.net. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, and guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.